I want to give you a couple quick testimonies. Can I do that?
Yes.
I got the pulpit, so I guess I can. I wanted to share this. Went to healing class this morning, and you know, I was just listening and being a part of it, and just being. And man, three people, three good words, rich, healing, receiving. We do this, we teach this, we have for years. We've seen tremendous miracles, tremendous. And healing, at least in here, and in many of our lives, is commonplace. It's normal. It's just regular old Christianity. We've got it. It belongs to us. We have authority over sickness and disease. Of course, all the devil and everything that he tries to do and perpetrate on us. And we can have what we say if we believe it in our hearts. There's power that goes out of our mouths when we speak, right? Amen. We'll go into all the scriptures. This is not a time to teach all this. And we're already healed. It already belongs to us. We've already been loosed and freed from every infirmity and every sickness and every disease. It's already there. Now it's just getting this into us. And we've been teaching this and planting, I want to say sowing seed for a long time. So it's partly why we continue to see things. Even when we don't do a whole lot of ministry. Because there's a whole lot of seed out there, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, a couple, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, Blake had come out. You all, pretty much everybody was gone. And Blake was talking about, hey man, I got some pain in my back. And I said, well, let's just get you healed. I didn't have anything to do at the moment. Let's just get you healed. Right? Is this what we do?
Yes.
As believers?
Yes.
I said, sit down. Now, normally I don't have somebody sit down. Sit down. And I said, stretch out your legs. And that was the first thing the Lord had me do. I hadn't done this for a long time. Stretch out your legs. And one leg was shorter than the other. And I said, well, Holy Spirit, thanks for taking care of that. And Blake and I watched his leg go right on out. And he felt it, and he kind of went, whoa. The Lord, it's not complicated or difficult to get people healed. You're going to have lots of opportunities. I'm promising you this. Okay. Then he stood up. I said, how's your back? And he said, yeah, it's better. I said, is all the pain all gone? And he said, no. And I took authority and I said, pain, go. That's it. I said, how you doing? He says, everything is good. Everything is gone. Okay. And then last week I got to teach healing, which I haven't done for a long time in the class. And you know, this is not me boasting. Please understand. This is the seed that goes out from the Word. This is all the Lord. This is Him. This is by grace. It's already given. And I was the message was about feelings and how we really go by, we can say we don't, but we go by our feelings, is a tendency so many times. Right? Oh man, I'm feeling pain. Oh man, I'm feeling down. Or oh man, I'm feeling tired. Or whatever it is. And we don't live by our feelings. We live by faith in the Word of God. So we're going to counter how we feel. I had them all stand up and we sang one of my most favorite songs when it comes to healing. And it goes, I feel good. I love James Brown. I know he was not perfect. He had some issues. But I love James Brown. And I love what he sang. I feel good. Na 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 na. Like I knew I would now. Na 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 na. Oh, I feel good. Na 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 na. Like I knew I should now. Na 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 na. So good.
So good.
So good. So good. Dun 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 dun. Oh, I feel good. And so I asked everybody when we got done singing, I said, how do you feel? And they all said, good.
I feel good.
See how that works? And in the midst of the song, somebody got healed. I kid you not. You know, God isn't held to our religious standards. Is that cool or what? He'll take, I feel good, and get somebody healed. I thought it was great. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's get in the message, shall we? This is on revival. I've got this week and next week to finish. And my whole heart is to continue to prepare us for revival. You got a little taste of it today. This is just a taste. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, typically pastors like to know everything that's going to happen, right? We like to know that. We want to make sure that, you know, somebody doesn't go off or, you know, this, and we're guarding and we're protecting and we're doing things like this. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be visions and dreams. There's going to be manifestations of the Holy Spirit we've never seen. There could be angels appear. There could be, a cloud of glory. I don't know. I have no idea. Magnificence and who he is and his glory that will take your breath away. And the immense love that will circulate among us, over us, fill us, change us. These are the things that we're looking at, and how healings and miraculous restorations and all these kinds of things, how they will happen, breakthroughs will happen. I don't know, but they're going. They're going to happen. They're coming, and they're going to happen in a way that is not commonplace, like we normally see. It's way beyond that. Okay. So my heart is to get us ready. Last week we, as a church, invited him into our lives to bring revival. Yes. That's what we did. And sincerely, with our hearts, all these things that I just spoke about, we have invited him in whatever way he wants to come and meet with us to change our lives, to revive us, to manifest himself, and it's going to spill out, whatever way it looks like. Okay? So we did that. We started. I got this email from Ephoma. Let me read this to you. Dear Pastor, I've been praying about the revival at both personal and church level for every member of our church. Then this morning, at about 5 a.m., I started praising God. I heard industrial level praise. I immediately jumped out of bed and started praising God as hard as my strength can carry me without waking everybody up. After about an hour, as I knelt beside my bed, still praising him, I heard the sound of joy and rejoicing. I sensed joy and rejoicing flowing from the mountaintop to the bottom in great awakening that is imminent. Yes. I agree. Ephoma is not the only one that's going to hear, sense, be woken up, see in this arena that we have begun to enter into. She said, finished it up with, I just wanted to share, I'm getting ready for the abundance of rain of God's Spirit pouring afresh on us. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Okay, so in a part of getting ready now for revival, and I'm trying to make these things just real simple. Part of getting ready for revival, after inviting him into our lives and into this church, is preparing ourselves for him. Yes. Preparing ourselves for him. This is where it starts. It starts with the heart. You really don't start outside the heart. You prepare your heart. If you really want revival, and that's what we want, we're going to prepare our heart to meet God. Yes. Oh man, what does that look like? Well, that's what I'm going to bring up. The preparation of our heart must take place as we seek Him by prayer and faith for the revival that He has for us. Now, people have done this, and I'm only going to use the last 50 years, but Pensacola, some of us are familiar, Pensacola, and we're familiar with this, and Brownsville and stuff, but even back in 1967 with the Catholics. The Catholics! When I first heard it, I went, Catholics? Are you kidding me? And the Catholics sought God, and He downloaded, and it became a tremendous movement that affected the world from them. And He brought revival. So you see, He's not limited. It's who prepares their heart. That's why we're doing this. Principles in preparing our hearts for revival are these. The lesser always prepares for the greater. This is all through the Word, okay? Now, between us and the Lord, who's the lesser? You raise two hands, right? Of course. And who's the greater? Our God. Right? We have to understand this. But here's what happened. And this is just some of the preparation that happened. Moses, in Exodus 19, prepared the hearts of the people to meet God on Mount Sinai. Man, he said, get ready. You know, they had to get ready by what they were doing, and they were changing their clothes and being cleaned up and taking baths and stuff. But what was happening was a preparation in their hearts. John the Baptist prepared the hearts of people to welcome Jesus, their Savior. That's what his repentance was all about, was preparing their hearts. In Matthew 25, where the 10 virgins Jesus spoke about went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were ready and 5 were not. The 5 that were ready had prepared their hearts to meet the bridegroom. They prepared their whole lives to meet the bridegroom. But it was from their heart. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples, Jesus prepped them. Go wait. Go wait for the promise of the Father. And they did. And in prayer and seeking Him, their hearts were being prepared to meet the Holy Spirit. Finally, Jesus told us the church is to prepare to meet Him at His return. The church's heart, the heart of every believer that names the name of Jesus Christ, is to prepare our hearts to meet our King when He comes. It is all about getting our hearts prepared. This is no different than right now for revival. We need to prepare our hearts. This is a real deal. This is a real thing. Okay? It matters very much what we do. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 1, please? 1 John chapter 1. This is the first part of our preparation. Everybody there? Now, I'm going to clean up any questions that come up with this, okay? So just bear with me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light. Now, in the Greek, that means He's pure, He's truth. No evil, no darkness, nothing crooked at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness or live in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Woo! Well, I'm okay because I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All my sins have been forgiven. Right? Because I've been born again. The Holy Spirit came in, wiped the slate clean, raised my spirit up and made it brand new, sealed it with his. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And it can't be contaminated with sin anymore. This is a done deal. I got eternal life no matter what I do. That's the truth. But we're made up of three parts, aren't we? Yes. Body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit got saved just like mine did, but your heart didn't get born again. Did you know that? Your heart did not get born again. Your heart did not get saved. Can your heart still sin? Absolutely. Does it? Absolutely. Do you know all through the Word from Genesis to Revelation, the heart is spoken about continually? You think it matters? Yes. You think it matters under grace? Yes. Absolutely. Our heart and our body are in the process of being renewed by the truth of the Word. But here's what happens. In our hearts, there are hidden things. All of us. There are things we would never show to anybody. Not even our spouse or our best friend. Nobody. Most of us would not discuss it. Would not share it, would not reveal it. But it's there, and it's real. And those hidden things in there that aren't light and pure and holy are sin. That's the facts. And we got them in us. Unless we deal with it. Some of the things that we hold hidden are lust, greed, ungodly cravings, lying, hatred towards others, no matter what they are or who they are, judgments, stinking offenses. Man, what a devilish trap that is. All of these things. Pride. You know, pride comes down to being self-centered. It's not ego and arrogance all the time. It's plain old self-centeredness in every way. Those things we hold in our hearts, they're hidden things that we wouldn't share. They are sin. Not a one of us likes to talk about it. Nobody does. Believe me, no pastor likes to talk about it. But if we're going to have revival, we have got to begin on the purification of our own hearts between us and God. It has to happen. This is for us. This is like one of those great big benefits for us. But we've got to do it. We justify the sin of the hidden things that we hold in our hearts. And we say, it's okay. I don't really let it out. I don't really expose it. Nobody knows about it. When I come in and I see somebody in a church or in my house or friendships, or I don't really expose this inside of me. Not this stuff, everything else, but not this stuff. It's shameful. And I know it. It's disgusting. Right now I'm pointing at me. Because I have been going through this. I don't mean just recently, but for a while. Things that I didn't even know. I didn't even realize. And they were there. I denied it. Nah, not true. I justified it. I had wrapped some camouflage around it, sheltered it, put it on the shelf, pulled it out once in a while, looked at it and said, it's okay, it's not hurting anything. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, your pastor had some stuff. I was kind of blown away, actually. I thought I'd dealt with everything in my life. I want everything God's got for me. And I want revival too. And if nobody else ever gets it, I still want it for me. I want it for you, but I want it for me. And I realized I needed in revival to prepare my heart to meet my God. I wanted my heart pure. Pure as it can get. I knew when I was a kid, not very long ago, in my mind, I threw newspapers on my first job, and one of my customers asked me, he was pretty debilitated physically, and smoked a lot, and couldn't hardly breathe, and couldn't hardly move, and had a cane, and anyway, he said, I want you to work on my car, I'll hire you. Work on my car and put new brakes on my car. And I thought, brakes? What's a brake? And he says, I'll instruct you. I'll walk you through every one. He said, you'll do the work, but I'll pay you to do it, and you're going to learn. I said, okay. So I talked to my parents, and they said, okay. I grew up in a little town, and everybody knew everybody, and nobody really knew him, but they said, oh, it's okay. And so I went to work, and we did this thing, and we did the brakes, and he walked me through it. And I learned how to do brakes, and I still remember. But one day, as a kid, I remember, oh, man, you know how those times are that sometimes you got to use a restroom, and it's like, okay, I can't wait till I get home. I got to use the restroom, sir. Sure, and he told me where to go, and I went into the house. Now, the house, man, it looked nice on the outside. It was just a nice little house. I went inside, and I couldn't move. He was a hoarder. And I got in, and there were paths about this wide all the way through the house, stacked with junk and trash and newspapers and pornography. Filth in every which way. I made my way to the restroom and came out, and I never used the restroom in there again. His house is the picture, being a hoarder, of this hidden stuff, of what we do as Christians, and I say Christians loosely, but as disciples of Jesus Christ. This isn't for us. We're not hoarders. We're not to be hoarders of these hidden things. The Bible calls them hidden things of shame. And that's what they are. Now, we're not condemned when we sin. We're not. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The penalty's paid. The sin's paid for. Forgiveness is already given. But understand, that's in our spirit. Our hearts can still sin, and it can penalize us. Our hearts are so powerful, they can take us on into eternal life, or they can destroy us, depending on what's in there. You want to prepare for revival? We got to realize where we are. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Really? That's just for Israel. How about every human being? Yes. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin?" Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord is the one who weighs the hearts." We can't do this without Him. Do you understand? We can't search our hearts. We really can't see what's in there, because a lot of times we've got this hidden stuff so put away. It pops out every once in a while. We see it, we go, "Oh, I'll use it." Or, "Oh, that's what that is." But it still has an effect in our lives. It still has an effect on us. No matter how hidden it is, it's still affecting you and me. No matter how much you think you've covered it up, if it's still there, it's hurting you. Period. God did not make us to live with this junk and hoard it. He made us to be free. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul wrote this to the church, and he said, "Everyone should know how to possess his vessel," that your body, your person, your life, "in sanctification and honor." That's in every area. Body, soul, spirit. We need his help to do this. We got to get his help. We really do. We are not able to do it on our own. I'm sure we can do some stuff. But man, we can't get to the height, width, length, depth, and breadth of all that junk that we've been hoarding for how many ever years that it's been in there, that we've carried with us and we've lugged with us, and all this baggage that we've had that's penalized us and hurt us. We need his help. David says, not David, but Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This is a prayer. "Search me, O God. I give you permission. I want you to. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me." Whoa. "And lead me in the way everlasting, the path of righteousness." The power in that prayer is giving him an absolute permission to take the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord knows everything down to the last detail of every speck of what comprises who we are. Everything. There's nothing hidden. We know that. In the power of that prayer says, "I can't do this. Search me out. whatever's in there that I have hidden from you and hurt me, kept me in some ways away from you, hindered me in some ways in my life, destroyed some areas that I would never present to anybody else but you. Search me out. Bring it up. Show it to me. Make it open to me. I want to see it. Man, this is the hard stuff. Because you're telling the Lord to expose all the stuff that you've been hoarding. Does it sound scary? That's the way it feels. I'll tell you that by experience. There's a reason it feels like that. It's because of shame. Because we know that it's sin. And we've been holding on. We know that. It's much easier to let it go. So much easier to let it go. And get free. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
I love you, Jesus.
Amen. I want this. I want it to continue the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes.
I want nothing hidden. You know, the reason we do this a lot of times is we birth things in our heart, and we hold on to them because it's a part of, honestly, how we survive emotionally. It's a part of how we think we can survive and survive well. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that's part of our justification. And we know it is wrong. We know it is sin. And we know it is hurting us. We know it. In our inner person, we know it. It's coming to grips with these things in us. That's what's so scary. I said, we don't want to know the junk that's in us, do we? Nobody does. Who wants to know this stuff, man? I'm all cleaned up. I'm a pastor. If you've ever had me on a pedestal, you never will again. I hope you never have. For our own sakes, it is most important to prepare our hearts to meet the Lord in revival. How do you do that? Number one. And now, I want you to understand, this is a personal thing. This is not coming to the altar and saying, hey, I want to tell everybody, or coming to the, you know, altar. Coming to the front. This isn't an altar. Coming to the front of the stage, or going to somebody and saying, I'm going to rip myself open, I'm going to be vulnerable. No. This is you going to the Lord. One time that happened to me, I was on my lawnmower cutting the grass. I mean, I just wept. I stopped and just wept. It's you going to Him personally. Invite Him to search out your heart. You have to invite Him to do it. He will never force Himself on you. Even getting you ready for revival, He will never force Himself on you. Number two, here's the scary part. You got to admit to you and to him the sin that he reveals and call it what it is. Don't dance around it. Call it what it is. Admit it. Number three, confess it out loud to him. This is you and him. Confess it out loud. Then get serious with him about repentance. Now, I'm not talking about lip service repentance. Lip service repentance is just turn the other way. Just whatever you're doing, hey, just do the about face. I'm walking this way. I know it's sin, and I'm going to go the other way. Well, wherever you go, when you turn the other way, you're going to take your heart with you. Amen. Remember, your heart's not born again. Okay? True, real repentance in God is the purifying of the heart. This is what it comes down to. Because I'm going to break down the Hebrew and the Greek in this. And it's real simple. Not just lip service. And you're saying I'm going to turn the other way, which most people don't. But it's a grief. A sorrow. That's real. It's genuine. Over the admittance, recognition, confession of the sin that we've held that's hurt us and hurt his heart for us. It hurts him when we do these things to ourselves. Do you know that self-inflicted consequences hurt him for our sake? Hurt his heart for us because he loves each one of us so much. Sorrow and grief at the sin that hurt his heart for us in acceptance of his forgiveness. Not begging for his forgiveness, but being able to fully accept his forgiveness in reality. Now, if you do this, if you do it, you will experience a real, genuine, honest to goodness, powerful freedom that you have never known before. You will have a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that you have not had. And don't be surprised if when you do it, you begin to have breakthroughs. Healings, relationships, prosperity. It's really limitless. Because what you've done is remove a wall between you and the Lord and his love and his grace and his glory and his majesty. You've removed that that you've been holding in your heart. If you do this, you will see a difference in your life. And you will be just about ready for revival. His promise to us. And this is the word the Lord gave me. I mean, He gave me this as a word to me. And he said, share this with you. But this is his promise. Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what we want. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. My encouragement to you today is that you would take, and if you want to come up here, I'm going to dismiss. If you want to come up here and get alone with you and the Lord, or you want to go in one of the classrooms and you want to deal with you, between you and the Lord right now, and at least begin, I don't care. That's up to you. But this side of the building is open. Okay? If you want to. I hope all of us do this week. But if you want to do that, you can do that. Number two, anybody need prayer? One, two, three, four, five. Ifoma, will you come on up and take charge on this? Lori, could I impose on you to pray today? Would you be able to? Thank you. Doris, could I impose on you to come up and pray today? Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jack, could I impose on you to pray today? Come up front and pray for people? Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Edmund, could I impose on you to come up and pray for people today? Thank you. It's okay to say no. If you can't, it's okay. But if you can, praise the Lord. Now, every one of these people has power and authority of baptizing the Holy Spirit. You have a request. This is the body going to minister to the body. Come expecting to see miraculous. Come expecting to see it. God does not disappoint. Each one of them is full of His word. And carries the power of God, the anointing of God, the gifts of healings in them. Let them yoke together and agree with you for that release of God's power, His ability, His grace, His love into your life, and what you need prayer for in Jesus' name. Come on up. Everybody that wanted prayer, come on up right now. Hallelujah. Let's make sure we have enough up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Either one. Lori? Don't hold back. Oh. Okay. Blake, you want to come up and pray? Okay. Hallelujah. Suzanne, would you like to come up and pray? Is that a yes? Come on. Right here in the front. Will you stand with me? Everybody else? Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, pierce our hearts. Holy Spirit, we're going to get real with you, Jesus, and we're going to ask you to search our hearts, either today or this week. Lord, we want to do a house cleaning. We want you to do it, and we're willing, and you're invited. Lord, I thank you so much for purifying our hearts from some of that ugly sin that we have carried, shielded, that's hurt us so much. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. In your powerful name, amen. You are dismissed, everybody. Thank you.